My name is Jeremy, and this is Good Beer Matters.
People have been rejoicing and coming together around beer for eons. And like, it's this tasty, kind of nourishing type beverage. It's more than just athletic. It's the category, it's a lifestyle, it's an appreciation for life.
I'm going to level with you. I originally didn't want to get into beer as a profession. I was an athlete and associated the beer business with excess and growing a belly. Not only was I wrong, but my next guest proves that athleticism and beer can go hand in hand. A memorable experience is found where craft and culture collide. These are the stories of us, of great food and the beer that brings it all together. For the craft and culture of beer, this is episode 121 of Good Beer Matters with John Walker of Athletic Brewing. Hey, today I've got kind of the next story within the whole global beer experience. It is really kind of a global beer phenomenon that has been going on for many, many decades, but in recent memory, aka my recent memory, this beer experience has gotten light years better. And I'm talking NA beers or no alcohol beers, alcohol free beers. I've got a little gray in my beard. I'm going to share that back in my day story. Yeah, we get a little bit of gray. Back in my day story, we had O'Doul's and Caliber and we were happy. Luckily those days are gone because they've gotten way better. So to kick off this story with John Walker of Athletic Brewing, I brought, I normally don't drink during these interviews, but being that it is NA and it's, after noon, whatever. Hey, let's toast on video. I'm going to get this for the audio.
Cheers. Oh.
I got a wild one. So for all of those of you who are listening, someone shook up my beer before I opened it. So shame on them.
Well,
but
celebratory.
Yep. Celebratory. Drinking beer like pros. Cheers.
Cheers.
John, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do, just for sake of context.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is John Walker. I am the co-founder and now chief product officer at Athletic Brewing Company. For those of you who don't know, we are based in Milford, Connecticut and San Diego, California. And are, the largest dedicated non-alcoholic brewer in the country. We manufacture all of our own product, and it's all that we focus on and all that we produce. And we came about, we started in 2018, launched commercially in 2018. We started our R&D process in 2017, although I'd say it started a little bit before that with Bill going on his own, studying some brewing. And I met Bill in 2017, moved up to Connecticut from New Mexico, where I was a head brewer at a small brew pub called Second Street Brewery. And I've been with Athletic ever since. And here we are just kind of making amazing non-alcoholic beer and growing and hopefully supporting the category to its maturity, which I think is probably in decades. And there's a lot to go, or a lot of room.
Yeah. We just kind of alluded to that because there, it seemed to be there was no progression in the non-alcoholic space, and then all of a sudden there was exponential, improvements there. But real quick, I find it interesting. You're based out of Connecticut and California. Unpack that for me.
So Bill and I started off in Connecticut in 2017. Both he and I grew up here, and although I was far away at the time we met, we were both interested in doing this project, and we both wanted to be in Connecticut, and the state of Connecticut actually was being really, really supportive and helpful in terms of growing a business and starting a business. So it was a great opportunity for us to kind of go back home and focus on this dream, especially with the support of family, because a lot of times when you're starting things up, it takes families to make them happen.
Yes.
For sure. And so
families and friends, you know, have loose dollars in their pockets, right?
Yes, indeed. So yeah, we started off here in Connecticut in 2017. And after we launched in 2018, we soon thereafter realized that we were going to run out of capacity. So we doubled our footprint in our existing facility to its maximum. So at that point in Stratford, we were brewing about 11,000 barrels a year.
And, wow.
You know, which was amazing. I came from a small brew pub where we were cranking out 2,000 barrels in a really busy year. And to see this growth so fast was really amazing. Also intimidating and very exciting. And so we realized that we needed a new facility. At the end of the day, you know, we looked at like contracting potentially, different ways to grow the business. And ultimately, we knew that we wanted to own the process through and through, just to make sure that it is everything that we hope it could be and should be. And so we started looking around at breweries. The Ballast Point Barrel Aging Facility, which is in San Diego, California, kind of reared its face to us through a series of like friendly encounters. And we happened to be at CBC in Denver when we got an email about the facility. So instead of flying back east to go home, we continued our trip west and went and visited that facility. And we were extremely excited about the opportunity and just, you know, kind of like bubbly at the prospect of taking over this gigantic facility. And so we sat at a coffee shop for about 4 hours and kind of dreamed up how to do it, how we'd make it work. And then eventually we did make it work, signed the lease in February of 2020 and launched that facility. I think we started packaging product on April 27th of 2020.
Which I can only assume was a bit of a challenging time to open that up. Because a month later, everything shut down. So, but we all know that story. Yep. I'm going to skip that story. I think we're all kind of tired of that,
cheers,
of the pandemic story. So, right?
Yeah.
You're probably tired of telling that story. So I think even more interesting, I think it's fantastic that you guys ended up in San Diego as well, because in my mind, that gives you kind of a East Coast distribution, West Coast distribution. And frankly, I grew up in San Diego. If there is ever a place that loves really good beer and loves being outside and outdoorsy and athletic and fit, it's San Diego.
Yeah.
So this just seemed like, this seems like a perfect match to me.
Yeah. San Diego is awesome. We had also at that time we had our e-commerce platform going off for a while. And so we had some preliminary data, like looking at places in the country that were receptive to our products. And California and kind of the Western Coast and Colorado were definitely demanding our product a lot. And so it made a lot of sense to move to that area.
Yeah. So what is the, so you kind of told us the beginning of it, but what was the origin story? What was that moment of like, hey, I've got an idea. How about beer without alcohol? That's targeted toward people who like beer, but don't want the alcohol. What's that story?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll give Bill all the credit there. His dream came before me. And so I think in earnest, he started thinking about this in probably 2012. He had quit, or he took a break from drinking for a dry January, of all things, or sober October. I can't remember which it was.
And just for sake of context, we're recording this in January, as I'm observing my first, well, dry-ish January, but you know, that's a different story.
Well, our thing this year is give dry a try. You don't have to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
So he stopped drinking for this month. He was living this really like high performance life. He was in a really, really busy like financial career. He was trading all over the globe, and so the hours were really wild. You know, he was inundated with like work outings and social events and things like that. And alcohol was really an impediment to his performance. And so he took this break and soon realized like, this feels amazing. He was just like crushing it on all levels. And so he just didn't drink anymore. He just continued that path, and it was working out great for him, except for the fact that he didn't have anything good to drink when going out, and felt like, you know, kind of let down if he's out at a nice dinner and he has to order a Coke or a water or something like that, and just kind of like a letdown. And then a lot of the brands that existed or still exist were kind of a not so great badge to carry, and there were a lot of stigmas attached to those. And so he really wanted something that tasted great and that was, you know, really invigorating to hold and showed that he was proud of what he had and who he was. And so that's kind of where it started. And so I guess, you know, in a nutshell, he was like, I want to create a delicious non-alcoholic beer that people are proud to hold.
It's funny that you share that story, because I've heard that story before, not in reference to non-alcoholic brews for necessarily, but a previous podcast for a brewery that, to my best knowledge, no longer exists, but was Sufferfest out of California. Yep. And they brewed gluten-reduced, gluten-free beers targeted toward athletes. And that story was because, I believe her name was Caitlin. She couldn't drink normal beer anymore. But the experience of going to an event or a party and not being able to partake with everyone else and holding that other beverage, quote unquote, other beverage, is a thing of contention. I don't want to say it was a point of shame necessarily, but that was kind of the impression I got of, like, you mentioned, the stigma. I'm just going to go ahead and call a duck a duck. Years ago, we'd get these non-alcoholic beers that were available, and the assumption was, oh, you must have a problem with drinking, so you're drinking that instead.
Yeah.
Which is unfair, inaccurate, but that was what it was.
Yeah.
And just that experience of, like, I want to go and commune with these people, but I can't. There's an invisible barrier just based upon what we're drinking. I find that extraordinarily interesting.
Yeah, that, and like all of that plus, like, people love beer, generally speaking. They've been drinking it for thousands and thousands of years, and like, it's this tasty kind of nourishing type beverage, you know, and it's got like the mouthfeel, the hops, all these things that people love. And so, you know, just providing another option for those folks who either don't drink alcohol, who want to take a break, it's their second beer, it's their fifth beer, whatever it is, to make the day last longer, drink 5 nights a week, you know, for the work nights. So it's just really creating more opportunity and more flavor.
And my own story, just to interject this, is I've always identified as an athlete. I was an athlete through high school, college, and very active beyond, and in lots of different capacities. But as I pursued beer as a profession, beer as a knowledge base, and doing a beer judge and advanced Cicerone, all that stuff, it requires a lot of time. You know, whatever it is you study, whatever it is you do as a profession, you need to spend a lot of time with it. I spend a lot of time with beer. And as I've gotten older and after looking back at all this stuff, I realized I spend a lot of time with beer and food, which is fantastic. I wouldn't change any of it. But I found that I had lost that balance in my life because I spent so much time with that, I got to, you know, the top of the mountain I wanted to climb. But I found on the other side of that, the slope was starting to become a little slippery.
Yep.
I wanted to find that balance. But that's kind of where these tools come into play as far as creating this experience that we'll dive into in a little bit. I want to flesh out the business you've created. I mean, you've created award-winning non-alcoholic beers. That alone is fantastic. We could put a period on that sentence and all would be happy. But there's more to that story, as far as I understand it. So I'm going to ask you to kind of flesh this out. But you guys are a B Corp. You put a lot of focus on impacting health, fitness, happiness, community, and the environment. You guys have a podcast, which I'm a big fan of. But there are a number of companies that actually have a podcast as a marketing vehicle. But but there's still some resistance to that. You have stories, you have recipes, you have ambassadors, you have events that are going on. So it seems like you're more than just a non-alcoholic brewery. It seems like you're trying to create a much fuller experience. It's almost like you're trying to distribute a thought process.
Yeah.
With each of the cans that you sell. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about community. It's about the environment. And you know, kind of like we were talking about, it was like people have been rejoicing and coming together around beer for eons. And you know, there are a lot of layers in there. So our podcast with Mason is incredible. And that's just to like celebrate the people that we really appreciate, that we think are awesome. And to see, you know, what their lives are like and to give our team some insights. And that was really early on. And that was one of Bill's ideas where he was like, I'm going to hire this guy named Mason. I think I'm going to call him a lead adventurer and we're going to have a podcast. And I was like, what are you talking about? But it was like, once I met Mason and we started talking, I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this makes absolute sense. And so, you know, then we tie in the ambassadors. And the ambassadors, I like to think of like our community who really helped us grow. Because again, we're kind of digging out of a lot of stigma from decades of kind of, you know, poor thoughts on the category and non-alcoholic beer. And so in the early days, especially, and still to this day, Bill would go to races. He would do the races. He would hand out beers at the end of the races. And he kind of built this community. And what we saw was people really kind of embracing it and really getting excited by it. And they're like, hey, I want to share this. And so, you know, what a great way to do that. And so, you know, that's what we do with our ambassadors. We've got like 1,500 ambassadors now. All across the country.
You have an army.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know, in on multiple continents. And so they're out there on a regular basis sharing products, sharing stories, and just really helping support kind of the evolution of the category. So it's more than just athletic. It's the category. It's a lifestyle. It's an appreciation for life. So we've got that. You know, from the outset, Bill and I kind of talked a lot. We had a lot of time together as we were researching like how to build this and how to, you know, design our process and the facilities and stuff like that. And there were a couple of components that were really important to us in life, which we're like, if we can do this and make a business successful, that would be absolutely killer. So it's like, you know, taking care of the team, you know, through benefits and insurance and inclusion and things like that, and creating opportunities. It's through the Two for the Trails program, where we said at the beginning, we're going to give 2% of all sales to trail and park cleanups. And so this kind of goes into our community and growing the community. And at this point, you know, this coming year, we're going to give about $2 million to trail and park cleanups. And it's been such a great response from the community that now we have a grant program. So people from all over the country and the world will write in with opportunities to participate in their local areas. Say, you know, you've got a trail by your house and you want to build a bridge. So you write in for the grant and we'll say, oh, you know, that's an awesome concept. We'll donate this amount of money. And then in an ideal world, our team will actually get to go there physically too and participate. So they know what's happening in the world and like where our time and money is going. So there are a couple things where we've been diving deep and it's exciting for us. It's exciting for the team. Keeps everybody fresh.
It seems like a lot of these things that you're doing, the podcast, the donating trails, stuff like that, they're all fantastic, wonderful things. And a lot of companies are doing them, but it seems like that on, you know, from a business standpoint, these would just be unnecessary expenses. So we're not going to do that. But yet at the same time, you said, you know, if we could pull all these things off, that would be absolutely killer. Well, we're in a day where it is absolutely killer. You guys are growing fast and have a great reputation. Anyone who knows anything about beer is very well aware of athletic. So whatever you have been doing seems to have been working, even though you're putting money into places that don't have a direct line to the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely codependent, and they definitely help lift each other. And, you know, we've seen that in terms of community and everything that we do, and helps grow our team also. And people are proud of it.
But, well, and even though there isn't a direct ROI on that sort of stuff, it sounds like you see a direct correlation between the two, as far as building that brand new reputation. Do you have any advice for any other breweries or companies out there that are toying with the idea of doing a little bit more along the same lines?
I think we felt it out with our community early on. It's really easy to make friends and build a community. You go out there, you share your products, you share your beer, you go to a trailhead, start talking to people, and you learn about your community and their needs and their wants. And a lot of times everything weaves together. And, you know, for us, like, we want it to be good. We want to have a good product. We want it to be healthy and mindful. We wanted to support the world that we're going to live in and our kids are going to live in. So it's like, how do you weave all those things together? And, you know, these programs are kind of how we worked it out. And I think any business can do that, really. So you just got to kind of start at the roots and see where you want to go with it. And then you had mentioned B Corp. And, you know, that, again, was an early dream. And in hindsight, we probably would have or should have done it earlier before we had like 150 teammates, because it was a pretty big lift at that size. But we got it across the finish line, I think, in April of 2022. And that was a really exciting and proud moment in time. And that was, you know, we wanted to be part of that community. There's some incredible companies in that. Already.
Yeah.
And so we want to be a part of that community and, you know, really participate with the people that we hold high, you know, in terms of standards and that we think are, you know, leaders in their categories and in business in general. And so we were excited to do that. It was, you know, a proud moment for our team. And it also gives us a set of standards to actually measure up against to, you know, we like to hold ourselves accountable, but it's nice to have somewhere to answer also to make sure that you're really doing what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, it's January. We're all trying to work out more. We're trying to lose a few extra pounds, but if we do that alone, then it's easy to skip a day. But, you know, like you said, if we say, hey, we're going to do this and we're gonna let the whole world know, then crap, I got to go to the gym now. You know, it's kind of a nice motivational tool. You know, real quick, what is your take on the state of non-alcoholic beer around the globe these days?
I think, you know, we're at a nascent time. It's just getting going. I think that, you know, it's been around forever. There are cultures that have been embracing it and drinking it for a long time. And in those markets specifically, you can see like they're, you know, 5, 10, 15% of the beer market in those given areas. And I think that is a result of just decades of experience or hundreds of years of experience and just kind of normalizing non-alcoholic beer, as a drink, and not attaching any sort of like association with it. And so here in the US, I think we're just getting going, really. I think there's a ton of upside. We're just, you know, below 1% in terms of the beer share, and there's tremendous room to grow, especially as people adopt it, as people become more mindful about drinking, as people learn about the option to have beers 7 nights a week instead of 2 nights a week. So, yeah, I think it's really early, and we got a lot of room to grow.
Well, and I was looking at some stats recently. I forget where, but you know, Europe is quite a brewer of non-alcoholic beers. And if I remember right, I think Spain is actually one of those countries that bubbles up to the surface as far as, I want to say, and I could be making this up, so please forgive me if I have this all wrong, but it was something like in the order of like 30% of beers consumed or something like that were NA beers in Spain, because they don't have that same stigma that we in the US have attached to that. It's just kind of like, hey, let's go for a siesta, but I need to be productive later, so I'll have some gazpacho and a non-alcoholic beer, and everyone's happy. You know, it's life is good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I see it when my kids grow up, they're gonna be in a world where the presence of alcohol and beer is kind of irrelevant, and that like that's the mile marker. I'm really excited about that. To where, you know, in those European countries, a beer is not marked by its percentage of alcohol. A beer is a beer, and there's beer for different occasions. And yeah, there are a lot more hours in the day where you need to be productive and want to be productive than there are hours where you don't want to be.
Yeah. You know, and I talk about it as beer is essentially a tool, and there's a right tool for the right job. You know, come summertime or even spring, we'll be around the water. We'll be around the water with kids, and boating is just one example. And, you know, where this is a situation where a lot of people will throw back domestic lagers. But, you know, drinking and being around water and kids and boats, that's a bad combination if done improperly. But to go to the water around kids and boats and have something like what you're putting out in the world is an incredible solution to that challenge.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that the whole NA thing is still pretty nascent in the U.S., but it's really not new to the world for sure. I'm aware that our mutual friend Megan Anderson just recently announced this aficionado program to kind of help educate people on the role of non-alcoholic beer, wines, non-alcoholic spirits. Even it seems like we're getting to that point where, you know, it's like Cicerones like myself, it's like, well, we need to pay attention to what's coming out there and think about it in more developed ways. And so this, you know, aficionado program is coming out to kind of help us all do that and kind of navigate through this thing that's coming out.
Yep.
What's your take on thinking about NA beers, you know, like I would, like, oh, I taste notes of da 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 da, and I'm going to pair it with this poopsie, you know, what's your thought on making these beers into something fancier like that?
Whether or not they ever become fancy, you know, I don't have a preference there necessarily. I think that they will find themselves in that realm to some extent, because at the end of the day, these pair just as well with any other foods or any foods as like any other regular beer or alcoholic, you know, wine, spirits, whatever. I think you can pair this delicious beer with food just like everything else. So I think it will find its way there naturally, and I think that's great. Speaking to what Megan's doing with the aficionados, I think that's really, really important. And we spend a lot of our time focusing on quality and communication and the regulatory nature that is non-alcoholic beer, especially in this country. And so, you know, what Megan's doing and working with the Adult Non-Alcoholic Beverage Association, which is ANBA, mm-hmm. which started, I think, a year and a half ago. And so Bill, our co-founder and CEO, he's the chairman of the quality division, I believe. And so we're working to help kind of create guidelines and educational points, partnering with folks like Megan to help the entire category grow, because there are a lot of hurdles in terms of production and quality when you don't have ethanol as a preservative. And that's one of our biggest risks that we see, is lack of quality or shelf stability when people enter the markets.
And that's a really crucial point, that if anyone who is listening or watching now that doesn't understand the nuances of non-alcoholic beer in this respect, then I just want to take a second and pull that out. You know, if we have a six pack of craft beer that's been on the shelf for a year, it's not going to taste fresh. It's not going to taste alive. It's not going to taste amazing. It's going to have some signs of age that are not really desirable. And most people don't know. A lot of people don't care. I'm one of those people, I can taste it. I don't like it. I want good beer or I want nothing. But non-alcoholic beer is a completely different story. You know, they say even a, you know, even a bad beer is still going to be safe to drink, but that's not the case with NA. What's the background on that?
So, a number of things. You know, first and foremost, it's non-alcoholic, and that means that, you know, it is below 0.5%. And that's a federally regulated product, and so we don't ever want to be out of spec there. So we don't ever want to be breaking that rule. You know, A, because we don't want to break the law, but B, because we want to be true to our consumers, and we don't want to, you know, impair somebody when they weren't looking to be impaired. So that's a serious thing that we take a lot of pride in and take it very seriously. The other things are that there are a host of issues that can come about when you don't have all of the parameters in place. Since there's no alcohol as a preservative, you know, A, the beer can go bad quicker and just be gross. You can get all sorts of infections and things like that and just make it a poor product. But you can also, you know, if your pH isn't in spec, that's a great place for botulism to grow. So that's a huge concern. And, you know, there are a myriad of other things that can go wrong if you're not creating a product that's safe. And so a lot of the things that we do and try to focus on in terms of our communication to the world and the production world and people starting up is, you know, how can we make a product safe? We know that everybody will and can work towards quality, but, you know, keep safety at the forefront.
I remember as a kid, you know, being just warned as, you know, PSAs, parents, grandparents, whatever it was, that if you have a can of beans or veggies or whatever it is, if you have a can that's swelling and obviously under pressure, well, don't eat it. It's gone bad. And so throw that out. And that's always existed. That's never gone away. But that wasn't really much of the conversation to my knowledge in the past couple of decades. But here we are talking about that same thing again. If you have a can that's swelling and of whatever it is, then it can go bad. But the problem is, of course, you know, people can get sick or worse if you have the wrong thing going in there. So this isn't just like, hey, it's beer, but simpler. It's actually beer, but way more complex, it seems.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we, for the same reasons that we love the craft beer industry and brewing in general, is like they're very vibrant and creative and like quick to innovate, and they shift and pivot and like do all these amazing things. But this is a place where you got to be really careful about how you enter the market and making sure that you're really thoughtful about how you do it, so that at the end of the day, the product that you put out there is safe for everybody. And also so it doesn't disrupt or, you know, damage this kind of burgeoning growth.
Yeah, you put it perfectly. If it were to get out of spec, if there was a little bit of alcohol and someone got slightly impaired where they were expecting not to be impaired at all, then not only does that damage your brand, the reputation, but that damages non-alcoholic completely. So it's got to be. I can appreciate it's got to be done right.
Yeah, we have a whole team, and we spend an incredible amount of time working on that, and we're, you know, quite proud of it.
Yeah, well, so far so good. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts. I mean, that's the NA beer. But I want to go back to kind of we were talking about before about you're creating something much more than just non-alcoholic beer. You know, through your podcasts and your ambassadors and your stories, and you're creating a brand that that this non-alcoholic beer just seems to fund, but this brand is just a fuller experience. So I'm going to get really deep and philosophical right now, but the idea of being athletic, as a kid, as an adult, well, since we're talking about beer, we're really talking to adults, but what does it mean to be athletic as an adult, especially as you age and start getting a little gray in the beard like we have?
Yeah. So, I mean, athletic is, I think, kind of synonymous with just like healthy, and active and able to accomplish the things that you need or want to do in a day. So it might be going for a 1-mile walk, It might be being the best at your video game, and being mindful and present and just like really acute, and being able to focus. It could be jumping on a trampoline with your kids for 45 minutes. It could just be getting up and going to work and, doing the best you can do. So, really it's just about doing your best, being your best, and being able to have products or choose products that can support that lifestyle.
And so, as you put this brand out there, if that's how you define being athletic, what are you guys doing besides the NA beer? What are you guys doing to try and promote this sense of being athletic?
We like to say everybody's an athlete. And so our ambassadors are out there, and our ambassadors come from all walks of life. They could be teachers, they could be working in gyms, they could be professional mountain climbers who are doing fastest known times like our movie. We're kind of out there all over the place through our community promoting this. And so, like I said, everybody's an athlete, and this can apply to absolutely anybody.
Well, then, if I can just take that even the next step is if everyone's an athlete, then what can, I'm not going to say what should because I'm not in a position to tell you what you should do, but what can we do to strike that balance between hedonism and athleticism and be that lifelong athlete?
What can you do? You can do anything. I think at the end of the day is just like looking at evaluating your options. And one of the things that Athletic is doing, and what we really hope to do and be is be that option so that you can choose a product that can help you achieve your goals. So really it's up to the individual. I can't really tell you or anybody else what to do or not to do, but we want to be there to be an option so that we can support those endeavors.
And I think a great deal of that is just being mindful of where are you and being honest with yourself. Like, okay, I'm going to use myself as the example of I used to be an athlete. I used to be athletic. Then I pursued, I climbed my mountain to the point where I wanted to be done with it and realized, oh, I lost that balance in my life. So I am now currently trying to get back to my athletic aged self. Hey, I'm going to call it what it is. And so I think just being mindful of who do I want to be? What do I want in my life? And for me, come Friday night, I will likely have a strong beer in my hands because it's Friday night and it's fun and I love it. So that's why I'm doing a dry-ish January. But I don't want two strong beers every single night, 7 days a week, because I found that that's just not serving my goals and what I want my life to be like. So I think that is something that I hope everyone learns, but especially people in the alcohol business. We don't need to have alcohol every single day, twice, threes, four times a day. We have options, and the options are quite awesome now, thanks to you guys.
And a host of other people. And I think a stat came out recently. It's like 82% of our consumers are alcoholic drinkers as well. So people are actually gravitating to this and really kind of thinking about, hey, I love beer. I want to have a beer all the time, but maybe that's not a beer for this time, this day. And so,
I'm one of those people. I'm in that stat.
Yeah, no, and it's my like my old I think it was an old Rogaine commercial. Like I'm not only am I the founder, but I'm a client. I always say like since we created this product, and I didn't know it could exist or would exist either. I was kind of a doubter. But I often say that like I drink a lot more beer and a lot less alcohol, and it's true.
But you still have a I'm going to call it a real beer every now and then. Do you think there's ever I've got Marvel in the brain. Any world in the multiverse where Athletic would brew a full alcohol beer?
You know, we're never going to say no outright to anything because we don't know what the future holds ahead of us. But there's a host of like complexities in terms of regulation and things like that that would compromise our existing business and product. And at the end of the day, we are really like dead set and focused on making this product and this category the best it can be. And we, that's all we can do right now. We've got a lot of work ahead of us trying to support, you know, both the category and our product.
Well, if I were on the board of directors, I'd say, hey, you know what? You've carved out an amazing niche and an identity. Just be that. I know some brewers who do amazing multi-award-winning barrel-aged fancy beers, but they're not drinking that every day. I mean, they'll go and buy Coors Banquet when they just need a light, easy beer to drink. But they're not brewing it themselves. They can go find it somewhere else.
Yep.
So that just seems to be an easy solution and takes all the headache away. But since I'm not on the board of directors, then you can dismiss everything I just said.
No, we're gonna run with it for now. You know, we've got so many ideas, and you know they're all exciting, and we think there's opportunities all over the place. But you know, this is right in front of us, and since creating this and been building this amazing team that we have, we've got over 200 teammates now. We've opened up the aperture for our little microcosm, and so we've got, you know, let's say our 40 brewers are dreaming up all of the flavors that are like in the craft beer realm, but under the non-alcoholic umbrella. So we've got decades to innovate within our own little world.
Well, and that's one of the things being the beer nerd, I'm actually pretty excited about. I do have to say I'm living in Idaho and you guys don't ship to Idaho, so I'm a little bit grumpy about that, but that's a different story, and I'm sure that there's some red tape there, but the fact that you guys have like a non-alcoholic Gosa or a non-alcoholic barrel-aged dark or all these different styles of beer, all these different potential flavor experiences without alcohol has just really has really enraptured me. So I may need to send a strongly worded letter to whom it may concern as far as getting that in Idaho.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, and all the time we're working, you know, we have a lobbyist that we work with. And so we're trying to break down a couple of those antiquated laws that prohibit us from sampling and sending to a couple states because they exist. But we're definitely working towards it. And all the variety, you know, it's good for us too, because this team loves to innovate and explore all these things. And
and it seems like it's just fun. I mean, you know, I'm drinking your golden, it looks like you're drinking the hazy IPA. If I saw that correctly,
I got the Run Wild, the other original.
Okay. The IPA, but you know, okay. So we got a golden, we got an IPA. Great. What else you got? Well, I've got a Gosa, I've got a barrel aged, I've got a this, I got a that. That's just exciting. To have those flavor experiences, but still be able to be productive at the end of the day.
Yeah. So our last year, so in 2022, we brewed over 70 unique recipes between our two facilities. So each facility has a small pilot system. And so brewers are constantly iterating, creating new things. And I'll say this, I know it might upset you, but so there's a wood-aged beer on our website right now called Oceans Under the Moon. That was our first wood-aged beer. Like you mentioned, all the sours, which the sours are just so complementary to non-alcoholic, in my opinion. They're just like absolutely perfect. But the whole world is available in non-alcoholic format.
Well, and I only say that, I say that half jokingly, because I would love to buy these beers. But I live in a state that doesn't allow you to ship them. But there are a couple handful of states that still don't do that. So for those of you who are listening or watching, if you're like, well, heck, I want some of this in my state, and if your state doesn't have it, well, one, go to the grocery store, talk to the distributor. But you know, but there's some laws that are prohibiting this stuff, and this is non-alcoholic beer. This, I mean, we might as well be shipping cases of Roy Rogers sodas. You know, it's I appreciate the intent, but at some point we have to pull our head out of our armpit and just get something done.
Yep.
So they're finding that balance is I'm going to power the people to make that happen.
Oh yeah. Write your local senator, House of Representatives.
Yes. A strongly worded letter. So talking about all these different flavors of beers and different styles of beers that you're creating in a non-alcoholic fashion kind of leads me down the rabbit hole. You're trying to create this experience, or trying to, help people enjoy this experience that they're familiar with, but in a very new way. From your seat in the world, your lens on the globe, how do you define and deliver that beer drinking experience? What makes a good beer drinking experience?
I think community, I think the variety, and this is more coming from a front of house kind of brew pub style where, you know, in any given month we had like, you know, 12 different beers on tap. And we just had new things revolving and it kept people excited and they want to come back and check things out. And it also helped them feel welcome in your community. And so they became, you know, those people become more communicative with your team. And so a lot of times with our, like specifically with our pilot program, where we're creating all these different beers, we'll send them out on e-commerce and we'll get direct connection to the consumers and we get all sorts of feedback. And so the brewers and the e-com team will take that feedback and kind of apply it to what we're making. So part of the experience is creating the community and also creating a product for any and all occasion, because, you know, some people only drink dark beers. Like, it's a thing. And some people only drink IPAs.
Even in summertime.
Yeah. And, there are a lot of people who drink all sorts of different things, but want a very specific beer for a very specific occasion.
Yeah, so, I'm that guy.
Yeah, so like, you know, we need and want to create something for everybody. And it's, you know, it keeps us light on our feet and excited and innovative and keeps our community coming back.
So along that, this question is going to sound a little woo-woo and philosophical, but I'm going to ask it anyway against better judgment. But, you know, I've been drinking, so who knows. If your brewery were a form of communication or a form of artistic expression, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to tell us?
What are we trying to tell you through our art? We are trying to tell you that you can do everything that you want, when you want, and enjoy all of the things that you have come to enjoy. You know, I guess that in a nutshell. I think in our exploration and earlier on for me, in creating the process for this, I realized that people don't necessarily love alcohol. They love the ingredients and they love, you know, all the things that people have been capturing in cans and bottles for centuries. And so we're just expressing that in a different format so that people can enjoy it differently and at different times.
So we can have our beer and drink it too.
Yes, you can.
Awesome.
And read your kids' books at night.
And still get some work done and drive safely. All these wonderful things. It's a kind of a win-win scenario here. So I'm going to pivot. I've got a few kind of like fun wind down questions for you, but yesterday I checked with everyone and we all agree, but tomorrow we're going to make you the king of the entire beer world for one day.
All right.
So, Your Highness, what would be the first thing you change?
In beer world or in the world?
Well, you're only king of the beer world, so you would have to reach across the aisle when it comes to other worlds.
King of the beer world. That's tough. I don't know. I've never been king of the beer world. I never thought it was an option.
Well, it's a new thing we're instituting around the globe. So
okay, I would make it possible to get fresh beer from around the world overnight for everybody. so that you could experience all the beers of all the world immediately in freshness.
So it's almost like giving Santa a year-round job.
Yes.
I love it. No more vacation for you, St. Nick. So at the end of this day, all of your decrees have been honored. But now, to thank you for your service, we're going to fly you around the world or anywhere on Earth to have a beer and a meal. Where would you go and what would you have?
A beer and a meal. I think I would go to Patagonia and have some probably vegetables cooked on a plancha on an open fire.
Oh, nice.
That's what I'm going with.
And what would you drink with it?
What would I drink? If I was going to drink a non-alcoholic beer, I would probably drink a Run Wild. I mean, it was like one of our first, and I still love it. It's just like a timeless product. If I was going to drink something else, I might have a Sauv Blanc.
Well, and I'll bet that would pair well with fire-grilled veggies.
Yep.
So, sounds excellent. And again, from your perspective, your spot in the world, why does good beer matter so much to you?
It matters because people have been coming around it for centuries. People use it as a form of communication and community, and to have something that's tasty and that everybody can appreciate that is also approachable is really important. And I think approachability is one of the things that sets beer apart from other beverages and spirits, is that it's super approachable. It's so welcoming to all people. And there's no barrier to entry in terms of like coming around the table and enjoying a beer.
Awesome. I like that. If I were someone who'd been living under a rock for the past few years, where could we go to learn more about Athletic Brewing and even buy some online if we happen to live in the right state?
In one of the 43 states.
Sorry, I don't mean to hammer that one down. I really am over it.
Yeah, no. So we're at Athletic Brewing on all the social handles. We're athleticbrewing.com, and you can see the whole array of our pilot series, all of our flagships, subscriptions. And then we actually have an app now, too. And so if you have the app, you get like push notifications, and there's a store finder on there, so you can see exactly where we are in your community.
Well, and I got to say, too, it's like, you know, when we all go to visit a new brewery, we're always looking at the merch and like, oh, I should get that shirt or that hat or whatever. You guys actually have some really fun merchandise on the site, too, that is functional from an athletic sense as well, it appears. So you guys have you guys are filling out the experience. Do you have a call to action or any final words of wisdom for anyone listening or watching before we go?
You know, I think right now, like I mentioned, and you know, we're in January. I'm not sure when this airs, but you know, we're giving dry a try, and that's the biggest thing. Non-alcoholic beer is still new to a whole lot of people, and it can be intimidating, especially if we're overcoming, you know, fears of being judged and things like that. But, you know, we're always talking about, like, get cans in hands, give it a try, and you will find the moment, and you will find that it's probably right for you at some point.
You know, I appreciate that very much. And it was my intent to give you the last word, and I'm going to give you the last word. I'm trying to end this podcast, but you brought something up that I think is important. I have not done any dry Januaries or sober Octobers in the past because I'm one who I don't believe in diets. I don't believe in I'm going to be on my best behavior for a month, and then we're going to just kind of have a big old party when it's all said and done. I prefer, for my own sake, to create a healthy lifestyle. My lifestyle was very, very focused. Took me to that slippery slope, and I realized, okay, now I'm going to tailor my healthy lifestyle in a way that's sustainable. That's just my approach.
Yep.
So I am doing dry or dry-ish January, but for me, we're recording this in January, it will air later on, but Dry January just is a name.
Yep.
For Sober October is just something that marketers concocted, thought, hey, I've got a good idea to sell more widgets. How about that dry or dry-ish sustainable lifestyle, or incorporating this tool that you guys have created into your life, so that for me, I'm going to have a nice strong beer on a Friday, but maybe Monday through Thursday, if I'm interviewing someone special at around lunchtime, I'm going to have one of these so I can get back to work when I'm done and still get it done.
Yep.
That's my thought. That's my PSA. But I kind of wanted to put that out there, and now you get the final word once again.
Yeah, I very much appreciate what you said, because I'm also, you know, I don't ascribe to like the holidays necessarily and things like that. I struggle with it, but when I think about it, like you put it, you're like, all right, so give Dry a try is a month long. If that system doesn't work for me, you know, what does that equate to if I divided that up in a year? And so, you know, what is that on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly? And like, can that have an impact? And, you know, can I have a positive impact on my life? And so, you know, just being open to it, giving it a thought. And at the end of the day, just try a beer, because they're delicious.
Yeah, there really is no downside to trying one of your beers with no alcohol, because for me, it's all about the flavor.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's about the effect, but really, it's all about the flavor, and you guys have figured out a way to put a bunch of flavor in these things. And so I'm very grateful for what you guys have created. I'm grateful for the beers that you've created. I'm grateful that you created non-alcoholic beers that don't make me want to puke in my mouth a little bit. Again, I'm going to call a duck a duck. The beers that I've tried, I haven't tasted them all, but the beers that I've tried have been absolutely enjoyable. They have been the closest versions to their original full alcohol versions that I've tasted in a non-alcoholic package. You know, when we talk about flavor, you know, there's, you know, different ingredients, different processes. You have to kind of assume that you're going to give up something. I'm not giving up a lot on this golden when it comes to other blonde ales or anything of that sort. To me, this occupies, it's a different tool for the same job, and it works fantastically. So I'm grateful for what you guys have done, what you guys have created, and for being here to tell us all about it today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And it means a lot coming from you with your accolades and know-how. And, you know, it means a ton to have the support and just kind of helping us send the message that this is cool too.
Yeah. Well, right on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Between alcohol and abstinence lay nothing more than a foul-tasting stigma. At least, that's how it used to be. Alcohol is still a choice, but flavor and experience don't have to be compromised in the wake of that choice. Either way, we can have our beer and drink it too. In the next episode, we head to Texas, where a brewery is more than a place for a beer. It's a destination. I'm on a virtual tour of the craft and culture of beer around the globe. I've put Good Beer Matters on video so I can take you along for the ride. If you know of a person, a place, or a beer story that needs to be told, let me know. Meanwhile, grab a beer, hang out with friends, and let your world open up. Thank you for listening. Cheers.